All right, well, let's move on to talk about adjuvant therapy. Georgina, you covered this brilliantly in your talk, went through all kinds of really interesting points. We're just going to pick out a few. Maybe you can just kind of provide an overview of where we start with this, Georgina.
Sure. So at the current time, there are three major trials and three drug therapies that we can use in the adjuvant setting. Here are the three major trials, New England Journal of Medicine 2017 and 2018. Dabrafenib plus trametinib, nivolumab versus ipilimumab, and pembrolizumab versus placebo. So first of all, the phase 3 COMBI-AD trial, which is dabrafenib combined with trametinib versus placebo in resected stage 3 melanoma. At the time the trials were conducted, we were using AJCC 7th edition. We are now using AJCC 8th edition, which is slightly different for stage 3. Stage 3A melanoma was included if there was more than 1 millimeter deposit of melanoma in the lymph node. 3B and 3C patients were randomized as shown here. We've seen the primary analysis, and what we've seen most recently at ASCO is the update on the relapse-free survival. So that's shown here, and you can see the three landmarks at 3 years, 4 years, and now at 5 years relapse-free survival, dabrafenib and trametinib in the blue, placebo in the gray, and the hazard ratio is maintained at around 50% reduction in the risk of recurrence, with a landmark of 52% of patients are not recurring at 5 years, whereas only 36% of patients are not recurring for placebo.
If we
If we now look at KEYNOTE-054, exactly the same trial design, pembrolizumab versus placebo in exactly the same population. In the blue, we can see the pembrolizumab, and we have the three landmarks at 1 and 2 and 3 years. So we don't have as much mature data versus placebo again in red. And again, a very healthy hazard ratio. Every subgroup benefits in all of those trials, both the COMBI-AD and in KEYNOTE-054. So it benefits basically everybody. But let's compare the treatments. And before I do that, the latest update of CheckMate 238, which was presented last year, again, 1, 2, and 3 year landmarks. Now, this time it was nivolumab versus ipilimumab. So this comparator curve we can't compare with placebo. It's going to be slightly better. But we see very healthy, strong landmarks and a benefit even against ipilimumab. So even been a bigger benefit had it been against placebo. This trial included stage 4 resected melanoma as well. So now let's compare apples with apples and oranges with oranges and look at KEYNOTE-054, pembro versus placebo, the BRAF mutant subpopulation shown on the left. Now if we go ahead with one more slide, actually, before I do that, keep it there. But the point I wanted to make is the placebo arms are very different on the BRAF mutant patients versus BRAF wild type. You can see the 3 year is 37.1% are recurrence free and 46.5% are recurrence free of BRAF wild type. That's the natural history of this disease. And we knew this over a decade ago that BRAF mutant stage 3 melanoma recurs earlier and more patients recur. So that's what we'd expect. And good to see that the placebo curve from KEYNOTE-054 for BRAF mutant matches what we see with COMBI-AD. If we can go to the next animation, yep, you can see that the placebos are very similar and that the landmark at 3 years is just ever so slightly higher with pembrolizumab. I don't think we can make much of that. There's not a lot of mature data. They're within the ballpark of each other and pretty similar and exactly the same hazard ratio. If we now look and compare the sub-stages, the point of this slide really is to show you at the top you've got the pembrolizumab versus placebo. At the bottom you've got dab-tram versus placebo. Every subgroup benefits for both treatments. And what you can see is that the landmarks are ever so slightly higher for pembrolizumab, but the shapes are different. So if you look at the top curves, yeah, this one's a good one to show it. I think this is probably the best one to show what I'm about to say. And this is now a comparison of nivolumab versus dabrafenib and trametinib in the adjuvant setting, relapse-free survival with exactly the same stage 3B, 3C. So the top curve is the BRAF plus MEK, bulges out. All the patients seem to be not recurring in that group the best. The blue curve, the light blue curve, is anti-PD-1, that's nivolumab. The gray curve is anti-CTLA-4, and then the purple is the placebo, no drug therapy. Now, at first, the BRAF MEK seems to have the best recurrence-free survival. But by the time you get to 2 years, we can see that the curves are crossing. Now, this is a bit naughty of me to put these curves together, but they are the same subpopulation, 3B and 3C. Let's watch this space, but it seems to be emerging that what we see in stage 4, advanced melanoma, we are seeing with resected stage 3 melanoma, in that the landmarks are starting to get higher for the anti-PD-1 therapy. It's a bit more durable. So let's watch this space. But in the field, we feel that what we see in stage 4 probably carries over to resected stage 3 in that we have higher landmark relapse-free survival with time. But let's watch this space.
So, Jason, just kind of curious what your thoughts are. My brain was swelling as I tried to watch her go through this the first time. But can you maybe translate this back into clinical decision-making? I guess it's really about what you choose to give as adjuvant therapy.
Yeah. And so I think that this is a bit of a fraught discussion with patients. And so the short version, I think, of what I think actually eloquently laid out there was that there's an upfront adjuvant benefit to BRAF and MEK, but over the long haul, it might be that PD-1 gives you a slightly higher relapse-free survival. Again, we don't have overall survival for either one of these. The other caveat for that, however, though, is that the toxicity profiles are, again, different, and that can also be an important consideration, especially in the adjuvant setting, where a small but real fraction of patients who get immunotherapy will have irreversible endocrinopathies. And so that is something to be considered, and I think in discussion with individual patients, I think our tolerance for toxicity is much lower in the adjuvant setting, and some patients may choose to do BRAF and MEK inhibition because it's reversible, they can stop it if they have a problem.
And this is a kind of a graphic that described this. Mike, can you talk about, for practical purposes, I think a lot of people do view, at least at this point, maybe you can separate out a little bit, these as equivalent options, on how you think through the issue of toxicity. I remember when these data first came out, it seemed like I was hearing from investigators very, very pro-immunotherapy. Then after a little while, people were kind of rethinking it in terms of the point Jason just made about the irreversible potential immune toxicity. How has it settled out in your own practice now, Mike?
Yeah, so I think it's a discussion with the patients, and these discussions sometimes take a long time, and the decisions are sometimes based more on patient preferences, such as how far they have to drive to get their treatment, whether they like IVs or not, and how afraid they are of getting a permanent toxicity. But in my view, I think in general, for a year of therapy, patients tolerate immune therapy better than targeted therapy. People on the targeted therapies tend to have some chronic symptoms during the course of the year, while a small percentage, somewhere in the 15% at most, have side effects from the anti-PD-1, and about 5% have a side effect that can be significant, meaning hypophysitis or diabetes that will affect them for the rest of their lives. And a smaller percentage of patients have some things like arthritis or things that take a long time to get better. But we're, I think, also more comfortable that if the tumor will go away and stay away with immune therapy. And I think the decision, although it's not data-based, tends to be in the patient's hands. And the higher the risk of recurrence, I think the more likely I am as a physician to try to encourage the patient to go towards immune therapy rather than targeted therapy.
So actually, Georgina, we have a question in the chat room. What's up with neoadjuvant treatment? And actually, that was something you covered. I had a lot of thoughts about, but maybe you're trying to briefly summarize where we are right now with neoadjuvant therapy. Georgina, where you think this might be headed?
So I think neoadjuvant is the future, but we have not completed the randomized phase 3 trials against adjuvant to show it. So neoadjuvant therapy in melanoma is treatment before we resect the melanoma in resectable melanoma, so stage 3 in general. We usually give 6 weeks of neoadjuvant therapy in the trials, and shown here are the landmarks for the pathological complete response for various different drugs. So we've done enough work to have our benchmarks for these drugs. So ipi-nivo combination gives you a pathological complete response between 50 and 60%. If we include any pathological response, it actually goes up to 70 to 75%. Dab-tran, pathological complete response 50%, pembro 20%, tvec 17%. So the question is, well, it's not for prime time. It's not for routine use in clinical practice at this point in time. But there is an important difference we're seeing with the immunotherapy and the targeted therapy that speaks to what we're discussing about durable control and what you use up front. And that is, when you have any pathological response with immunotherapy, any at all, it tends to be durable. These patients do not recur at all. Their relapse-free survival is flatlining at 100%. Whereas if you get a complete pathological response, not just any, but just complete with targeted therapy, you still can recur. I don't know if we have those curves there, Neil, but they really demonstrate that any pathological response on neoadjuvant immunotherapy is a significant thing you can feed back to your patient. You get the sample and you say to the patient, you know what? You've had a pathological response. Your chance of recurring is less than 1 in 120. So it is marvelous for the patient. They get the feedback that the drug actually works. They get a better, more precise prognosis. It may change follow-up and frequency of follow-up. And it may be more effective than adjuvant treatment, but we're doing those phase 3 clinical trials now. So it's not prime time, but it may be in the future.
Routine. All right, well, let's run through a couple of clinical scenarios and see what the audience is doing and also what oncologists in practice are doing. Jason, so we are saying to the audience here, you've got a young patient, stage 3B disease, who've got one positive node, BRAF wild type, melanoma. What's your usual adjuvant therapy? And we can see, and we'll see how the audience, looks like the audience is kind of split between Nevo and Pembro. Our oncologist in the survey also were pretty well split. Jason, we said the same thing with the 80-year-old patient. We saw the same results. We also said we're going to ask the audience as well, okay, they're split on BRAF wild type. How about BRAF mutant disease? What's your usual adjuvant therapy approach there? And it looks like in the survey we did, we saw more targeted therapy. So just kind of backtracking in terms of your own practice, Jason, can you comment on how the audience voted? And let's see what they do about the patient with BRAF before. So let's see, adjuvant therapy, BRAF looks like maybe more dabrafenib, trametinib. So Jason, can you talk about your own practice as it relates to this?
Well, I think that this is something that Dr. Atkins alluded to, which is that I think a lot of us are biased towards using immunotherapy in this setting. I think we have more belief about the long-term benefit. So actually, in all of these scenarios, my answer would have been to use an anti-PD-1. Now, with the fluctuating schedules between Nevo every 4 weeks, Pembro every 6, and someday Nevo all the time, I don't know. But the point is, I don't think it really makes that much difference which PD-1 that you pick, but we would, generally speaking, bias in the stage 3B and C setting to a PD-1, that would be what I do. I would note that in the 3A, it's a little bit more of a nuanced question. I don't think we have time to bog down the whole program with that, but that is a real closely contested issue about whether or not we should treat at all. And if we were gonna, I probably would use dabrafenib, trametinib for BRAF mutant stage 3A, but I don't want to get totally off topic either.
So Georgina, maybe you can comment on Jason's practice patterns and how they compare to yours.
I'm very similar, and in Australia, we're very similar. We tend to high-risk disease, and as Mike had said earlier, we tend to use immunotherapy. 3A is actually a discussion with the patient. In Australia, it's actually not available for 3A, AJCC 8th edition, but old 7th edition, it is a discussion with the patient, and their appetite for toxicities, as Mike mentioned before. I tend to favour, again, immunotherapy, as long as the patient understands the risk of the irreversible endocrinopathies.
So we're not going to go through Georgina's case, but I really do recommend that you check it out. Really interesting case in the presentation. We can show the slide there. This man with this lesion that maybe in the long run would have been better off having neoadjuvant therapy, but